Chapter 27. The dropship he sent down to the assault party couldn't hold all of us. It was the smaller of the two remaining dropships. I stayed behind and enjoyed warm, clean, dry clothes and a hot meal of real food while the dropship cycled up to orbit and back again. With Captain Smythe, I sent the Elder AI and the comm node up to the ship, knowing Skippy was anxious to get those two items aboard as soon as possible. We both had hoped that by some miracle, when the new AI got close enough to Skippy, it would activate somehow, and that he could figure out how to make the comm node work. He called me shortly after the dropship was aboard the Dutchman. It surprised me how quickly he ran his analysis of the Elder artifacts. "No dice, Joe. The AI and the comm node are both dead as doornails." Crap, this isn't right. What could kill an AI like me? This frightens me. You're certain it was alive at some point? It wasn't just a canister that never got an AI loaded into it? That would be the best scenario for Skippy. No such luck, Joe. No, there is a residual presence there. Jumbled data. Something bad happened to him. The connection of the canister, as you call it, to other dimensions has been broken. It's now merely a beer can of tightly packed exotic materials. It was a long time ago, too. I can tell that for certain. And there's something else. Whatever happened to this AI... It happened roughly around the time Newark got pushed out of its original orbit. That can't be a coincidence. If we could, I'd like to stay here and investigate this planet in detail. We're going to leave our two satellites here, right? They'll collect data, and we can swing by in the future and see if they found anything interesting. I wanted to know if our satellites ever saw a Cristang ship poking around the places we had lived on Newark. Even though we were going to be careful to take our trash back up with us, there was plenty of evidence from DNA alone that humans had been on Newark. If the Cristang ever learned that fact, they were going to start asking uncomfortable questions, and I wanted advance notice if that ever happened. Skippy judged it very unlikely the Cristang would ever again bother with Newark at all, now that it had been emptied of useful Elder artifacts, and I agreed with him. I also needed to be prudent and not assume something very bad would never happen. The satellites will help a bit. What I'd like to do is perform a deep scan that the satellites can't do. Even for me, a scan like that could take months. I'd be running time back in other space-times. There's no way to rush that, darn it. I really do need to know what happened here. It does not make any sense. What bothers me most about it is this incident calls into question what I think I know about the Elders. Perhaps I should have said that's what bothers me most. Other than an entire sentient species being wiped out, of course. I knew what you meant, Skippy. Sorry about your, I guess, brother AI. Can you do anything with that comm note? No. Frustratingly no. It's like the first one we captured from that Cristang research base. It appears to be fully functional, but it is not connecting to the network. I'll keep working with it. I don't have much else to do. Or, I didn't say, maybe there was no longer any network to connect to. Skippy had to be worrying about that. He didn't need me to remind him of that awful possibility. If there was no longer any network enabling the collective, then our entire fool's errand of a mission was doubly worthless. The dropship coming back was a welcome sight, even if Skippy did set the damn thing down a half kilometer away and a cold rain was pouring down from dark gray skies. I didn't care. I was getting safely off Newark. My entire crew was safely off Newark, in fact. I was the very last person to leave the planet. Chang was aboard the Dutchman. Sims had stayed at the main cabin until the last person and last piece of equipment and last scrap of trash had been loaded into a dropship. To speed up clearing evidence of our presence off the planet, I had ordered Skippy to use both dropships at the main cabin until Sims declared they were finished. Until then, I waited in our cramped, damp cave in my relatively clean, warm, dry clothes. With me were two U.S. Army Rangers and three Indian paratroopers who had volunteered to remain behind with me. Because there hadn't been enough room aboard the first dropship. We played cards and enjoyed eating real hot food, and the day and a half delay almost flew by because we knew we were leaving. We spent a few minutes peering around rocks in the caverns, making sure we hadn't left a sludge container or an old sock behind, then dashed through the rain to the open door of the dropship. I paused at the bottom of the ramp, my boots still sinking into the chilled mud of Newark.
"What is it, sir?"
one of the rangers asked. Looking up at the leaden sky, blinking away raindrops. It seems like I should say something profound. Something better than, "We are so out of here." This planet wasn't always the half-frozen pile of shit we experienced. It was a nice place once, with forests and deserts and tropical beaches. And like Earth, an entire civilization, an entire species, an entire biosphere was wiped out here. I feel like I should say something about these people. Maybe more important, say something about whoever the hell it was that did this. The ranger nodded. We are unlikely to do anything against beings who moved an entire planet, so how about, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's good, I agreed. One of the Indian soldiers nodded. We have a similar saying. We say karma is a bitch. Whoever pushed this planet out of orbit is going to get what's coming to them, one way or another. Amen, brother, the ranger said, and they bumped fists. That was more eloquent than anything I could have said, so I kicked the mud off my boots, walked up the ramp, and left Newark behind. Being aboard the somewhat sterile, artificial environment of the Flying Dutchman again was like paradise compared to the damp chilliness of Newark. The air aboard the ship was warm and dry. My clothing was clean and dry. I had a bed to sleep in and real food to eat. My initial thought was to declare our first day back aboard a fend-for-yourself day in the galley, figuring I'd spare anyone from taking a shift in the galley. Fortunately, Colonel Chang had already set a duty roster, and the Chinese team had a hot bowl of noodles waiting for me after I dumped my dirty clothes off in my cabin and took a too-quick shower. The galley didn't look much different from before, maybe a bit larger. One of the bulkheads was further away from the door than I remembered. The whole compartment was a soothing light blue color. Skippy had done a great job. The bowl of noodles and a cup of hot tea with sugar in it tasted like heaven. I even tried eating the noodles with chopsticks. I was in such a good mood. You know what I need? I asked no one in particular, thinking that an hour in the gym would do me good. Or maybe a game of basketball. I felt soft and slow from laying around inactive too long. I should have known not to ask an open-ended question like that when Skippy was around. I'd gotten used to being away from him on Newark. A shower? Skippy suggested from the speaker in the ceiling. I shook my head as people laughed. I showered after I came aboard. Skippy made a sniffing sound. Doesn't smell like it. Maybe you could rinse off with some of that degreaser we use on the engine couplings. Hey, Joe, there weren't any showers on Newark? No, Skippy, of course not, I replied while slurping hot noodles. Without a shower, how did you take care of your morning boner? There was nothing I could do, other than sit there with a sheepish look on my face while people laughed. Man, I am missing Newark already, I said. Skippy hadn't only repaired the Flying Dutchman, he had modified it. On the dropship ride up, I'd noticed our formerly very long, spindly star carrier had been substantially shortened. Shortened to the point where instead of long rows of docking hardpoints for shorter-range starships, there were only three hardpoints, arranged in a single ring. Instead of the engineering section at the aft end of the ship being so far away that it appeared not to be attached to the same ship, it was right behind the trio of hardpoints. New and improved, Joe, Skippy told me. Except for the new part. And maybe the improved part. Well, some of it is improved. I snapped my fingers. Before I forget, Skippy, while you refueled the ship, did you get some for yourself? Dr. Friedlander on the science team had inquired about Skippy's own fuel requirements, and that reminded me to ask him. The last time we talked about it, he only had several thousand years before he ran out of fuel. You need something like metallic hydrogen? Which I personally didn't know was a real thing or not. I thought hydrogen was a gas, not a metal. But then, what did I know of science? Yes, I did, Joe. Thank you for asking. It wasn't much. Enough for 800 years or so. It will have to do for now. Great. Improvements to the ship, huh? According to the display, we now had two functioning reactors. Two. Not six. Not even four. Two. Does reducing the number of reactors count as an improvement? Yes, Joe, Skippy assured me. Those two reactors make the power of three original ones. They're more reliable, and they require a lot less maintenance, and their shielding is way better. A near miss by an exploding warhead won't knock these new reactors out. Not as easily, anyway. We also had only 40% of the original complement of jump drive coils, which was not a problem, Skippy said, because he'd reconfigured the entire drive top to bottom. Should have done this when we first took this ship, he said proudly. That the Renan drive was crap anyway. Now we can jump 30% further, and the coils charge 18% faster. Also, the coils are divided into three separate banks, so if one bank of coils goes out of calibration, we can use the two others. Or just one, if needed, in an emergency. I'd noticed the three darkened hardpoints were empty. The flower is gone? Yeah, sorry about that. I know you liked having a spare tire. That ship contained components and materials I couldn't get elsewhere, and I needed its reactor to supply power for a while. The flower dipped into the atmosphere to get fuel. After it was done with that, I had to take it apart and use most of it as a high-energy particle accelerator to manufacture exotic materials. What was left, I loaded with trash and dropped it into the gas giant. It was a good little ship, Joe. Actually, it was a piece of shit. But it served us well. Desai wouldn't be happy about that. While she loved flying the giant Flying Dutchman, the Flower was the first starship she'd ever flown. You did what you had to, Skippy. You performed a miracle up here. I'm sure not going to be the ungrateful monkey who second-guesses you. We have only two dropships? Unfortunately, yes. Plus one drone that can be used for performing maintenance outside the ship. Should I check if any dropship dealers in the area are having a holiday blowout sale? Ha! Somehow I suspect our credit isn't good out here. Good point. Unless the dealer will swap a dropship for bananas. After a hearty bowl of noodles, I went to my office near the bridge, reading reports on my iPad, trying to act like a real colonel. What I really wanted to do was go play basketball or just hit the gym. That could wait for later. There was no rush. We'd done two successful jumps away from Newark, and Skippy was fiddling with minor adjustments to the jump drive unit. I had just bent down to untie a boot to get comfortable for a long session of intense boredom when Skippy called me through my Z-phone earpiece. Hey, Joey. I have some, a bit of bad news for you. Ah, damn it. I knew I should have brought tequila or something on this trip. I need a drink before you tell me any more bad news. Do me a favor. Is this the bad news of the Joe needs to dream up a way out of a mess Skippy got us into variety? No. This bad news is of the pissed-off aliens attacking Earth and turning it into a wasteland, in the process wiping out humanity variety. Holy shit. I retied my bootlace with fingers that were already shaking. Blasphemy is a particularly bad idea right now, Joe. Prayer would be entirely appropriate in this case. What the hell happened? For crying out loud, we just left Newark behind. Well, you know that Kristang ship I blew up there? My idea. Oh man, are you ever going to give that up? What do you think? No, you aren't. In your defense, I wouldn't either if I was in your place, Skippy admitted. That was a pretty good idea. Yup. So?
So, before I ripped that ship apart with a perfectly aimed particle beam shot through a weak spot in its reactor containment shielding, one hell of a shot, by the way, the micro-wormhole exit point mutates in a random fashion because I had to avoid causing a detectable rupture in space-time right there, and with time dilation I had to estimate how the particle beam would be affected by the mutation. As far as I'm aware, this is the first time a wormhole has been used to deliver a particle beam. It was an interesting exercise. I realized that I needed to create, or perhaps more accurately, recreate, a branch of mathematics using a variation of topological invariance. Then there was the speed of light time lag between the wormhole and the ship to deal with, that I realized I needed to first tag that ship with a low-power targeting laser in order to establish...
Skippy!
What?
Back to the subject, please.
Huh?
I rolled my eyes. That beer can needed to create a submind to keep track of his thoughts. The subject, please. You know, the bad news about aliens turning Earth into a wasteland?
Oh, yeah. Huh. Anyway, hitting that ship's reactor with a particle beam through a wormhole was an incredible shot, if I do say so myself.
You did say so yourself.
If I didn't, how would you know how awesome I am?
I don't know. How about, hey, here's a suggestion. You tell me about this big threat to Earth and how you found out about it.
Easy peasy, Joe. Before I hit that ship, I was able to download some data from its computer memory. There wasn't time for a full download, especially with the narrow bandwidth I was working with through the micro-wormhole, so all I was able to get is a sack of messages intended for the leaders of the scavenger group on the surface, mostly messages from their clan. I was super busy, so I didn't bother to read through that pile of crap until a few minutes ago. One of those messages warns of an impending power shift among the clans. It seems that with the loss of a wormhole connection to Earth and the Kristang's retreat from Pradassus, that's the planet you humans call Paradise, the fortunes of the White Wind Clan took a major, In fact, fatal blow. The White Wind clan has been forced to seek a more powerful clan to ally with. The cold truth is the White Wind are going to be absorbed into the more powerful clan. Calling it an alliance is a transparent face-saving move for the White Wind leadership. The alternative to being absorbed is being conquered, and their territories and properties divided by the victors.
Sucks to be them, huh? I don't know anyone here who is going to shed any tears if their entire clan gets smashed. How does this threaten Earth? All the Kristang on the Earth end of the wormhole are dead, right? I tensed, fearing his answer. My home planet was defenseless against even a single Kristang ship, if there were stragglers we didn't know about before we left Earth orbit.
It threatens Earth because, according to Kristang law, which is adhered to more strictly than you may expect, given what a nasty bunch of lizards they are, for a clan to be formally absorbed, the clan that is losing its identity must have unanimous approval from the senior clan leaders. This unanimous approval sometimes is achieved by assassination of clan leaders who disagree. The law doesn't prevent that. Kristang law is both rigid and flexible. The formalities must be rigidly adhered to. The morality behind the laws is more of a meh thing.
Fine, interesting. And?
Here's the thing. This is kind of ironic. The law of unintended consequences and all that. My spidey sense was tingling at level 10.
What the hell did you do, Skippy? I asked carefully.
Technically, it's what I didn't do. Or I guess it's what I did, or we did in my defense. Hey, no, you know what? As a matter of fact, it's what you asked me to do, so this is your fault. Yeah, that's it. This is all your fault.
Humans, I mean, not only you personally, although mostly you personally. Skippy, you once told me that the Andromeda Galaxy is going to collide with the Milky Way in about, what, 4 billion years?
Uh-huh, that's right. Why?
Is there any chance you'll get to the freaking point before then?
He made an exasperated huffing sound.
Fine, sure. What I did, because you asked me to, is wipe out the Kristang on Earth, including effectively pounding their last two sites into dust with railguns.
We did ask you to do that. I couldn't see why that could be a problem. And we thank you for your help. What didn't you do? Are there any Kristang alive on the Earth side of the wormhole?
No, not that I know of. I told you that.
Theranin? I asked fearfully.
Nope.
Look, if you'll stop asking stupid questions, I'll tell you, or this conversation really will last forever. What I didn't do, and you didn't ask me or remind me, and that part is entirely on you, 100%, I never bothered to dig through all of the enormous pile of data in the Kristang's computers at Earth, on their ships, and on the ground. If I had done that then, I may have discovered that 2 senior leaders of the White Wind clan were on Earth at the time. 99% of it was the usual boring messages back and forth, like, oh, I got so hammered last night, and this planet sucks, and my boss is an asshole, and we should kill all the humans. The usual BS. I lost interest in digging through it, which is why I didn't realize senior clan leaders were there. They were there to oversee the operation of fully securing your planet, of finding some way to turn a profit on their risky venture, and to show support for what they must have known by that time was a sinking ship. 2 senior Kristang clan leaders were there.
They're dead now?
Affirmative. One was aboard that frigate I jumped into your son, the other was at a site I hit with a missile strike in the first attack.
Before asking another question, I stopped to think. Skippy said he'd missed something, and he was terribly absent-minded. If I didn't ask the right question, he might never tell me what I needed to know.
They're dead. They died right away. We couldn't have negotiated with them because they were dead. The White Wind clan can't agree to be formally absorbed, so other clans will pick them apart.
I still don't see why this is our problem.
It is your problem, Joe, because the clan that is absorbing them, the Fire Dragons, wants to avoid a protracted fight over the White Wind. The Fire Dragons, while much stronger than the White Wind, have been stretched thin recently. The wormhole shift hurt them also. They are rather desperate to get formal approval to absorb the White Wind clan and its assets without a fight. They are so desperate that they are paying the Theranin to send a long-range ship to Earth, all the way there without a wormhole, in order to bring back those 2 senior White Wind clan leaders.
Oh, shit. I almost choked on my words. Hence why I described this as an end-of-the-world thing for you humans.
We were screwed. We were totally screwed. If the Theranin got to Earth, they would not only discover all the Kristang were dead, they would surely learn by raiding our databases all about the Flower and the Dutchman, the merry band of pirates,
and about Skippy, and that the wormhole near Earth had been shut down deliberately, and that little fact about our ability to manipulate wormholes would get every technologically advanced species in the galaxy very interested in Earth. Such interest would not be healthy for humans. We need to stop that long-range ship, Skippy. Probably a good idea. My best estimate for the earliest when that ship could arrive at Earth is 29 months from now. We, of course, can get to Earth long before then by reopening that wormhole. The easiest time to hit that ship is when it arrives. No way. No way, Skippy. And we don't have anything like 29 months. Tell me, what will the Theranan do if their ship doesn't return in about 5 years? Most likely, they will wait another 6 months or so, then they will begin to worry. Then they will almost certainly send another ship. Likely more than one ship. Exactly. If that ship disappears at Earth or on its way to Earth, the Theranan are going to be very suspicious about what is going on at Earth. Tell me, what would happen if that long-range ship was instead destroyed in Theranan territory before it even gets started on the actual journey to Earth? Good question. Give me a moment to research the history of similar incidents. This could take a while. Done. Most likely, in this case, an 84% probability, the Theranan would tell the Fire Dragon clan that the Theranan considered the contract fulfilled because the Theranan made a good faith attempt to reach Earth, and with the loss of the ship the Fire Dragons hired, the contract is closed. The Theranan have only a handful of long-range ships that could reach Earth. Such ships are frightfully expensive. It is also unlikely the Fire Dragons could afford to fund a second expedition to Earth. Other clans who want a piece of the White Wind would see additional delay as a signal to strike, and the Fire Dragons would need to act quickly. Exactly. See my point? We need to destroy that long-range ship while it's still in Theranan territory. Destroy it in a way that the Theranan think it got hit during a random Jarraptha fleet engagement, that whoever destroyed that ship didn't consider it anything special. That ship wasn't specifically targeted. Damn. That means we'll need to hit another Theranan ship at the same time, or right after. This is going to be a major, major deal. I needed to bring other people into the planning. Will that long-range ship have escorts? Certainly. It will typically have two support ships to refuel and resupply the long-range ship at the point where it begins its solo journey. The support ships will turn back at that point. And I expect there will also be a warship escort, a pair of frigates, maybe a destroyer. The long-range ship is basically a highly modified star carrier with an extra pair of reactors, triple the number of jump drive coils, and no attachment points for carrying other ships. Also, more robust self-repair capabilities than a standard star carrier. And it has full capabilities to refuel itself along the way. Like a star carrier, it is not intended for ship-to-ship combat. An easy target, then. Ah, not for us. The Dutchman isn't a true warship either. Especially now. Understood. We'll need the advantage of surprise. Plus, plenty of Skippy magic. Do you know where this long-range ship... Hey, is there a name for this type of ship? Saying long-range ship every time was going to get old. The Theranan do not name their classes of ships. Each class has a numeric designation. However, the Theranan copied the basic design from the Jarraptha, and the Jarraptha refer to such ships as survey cruisers or surveyors. Surveyors. That's good. Do you know where this surveyor is now and what course it has taken to Earth? Nope. That data wasn't in the messages I downloaded. The message was more clan politics and rumors than actionable intelligence. That made me rub my temples with my fingers. I was going to have a headache for sure. Damn it. This means we'll need to shadow a Theranan battle group again to get access to their databanks? That was way too risky with the Maxalts hanging around. No, here's a piece of good news. The Fire Dragon clan paid to hire the Surveyor, and part of the deal is the Surveyor will take 4 Kristang with them, 2 from the Fire Dragon clan and 2 from the White Wind. I'm sure the Theranan are disgusted about having Kristang aboard their ship. The Fire Dragons will know where the Surveyor ship is going to pick them up, and how it's getting to Earth, at least a rough outline of the ship's course. The Kristang have gotten screwed by the Theranan on shipping contracts so many times they insist on very strict and detailed terms, including metrics about... Oh, damn it, I'm using buzzwords. I sound like one of your stupid PowerPoint slides. Being around you monkeys has infected my brain. Anyway, we can sneak into a star system that is occupied by the Fire Dragons, and I'll steal the data we need from one of their communication relays. The Maxalts may still have warships accompanying Theranan battle groups. We need to steer clear of them. That is good news. You got any more? Nothing worth mentioning, no, unfortunately.
except that from here we can get to Fire Dragon territory within 2 weeks.
If you think of anything else, I stood up and hit the button to open the door, let me know. I need to tell the crew and get working on a plan. Set course for Fire Dragon territory. I'll inform the pilot that we're changing course. Again.